Amen. Well, we know the context. If you've been looking at chapter 19, King David is returning from exile. His son Mephibosheth has died in battle. David's coming home to take back his rightful place on the throne of Israel as God's anointed king. And Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, it says Saul's son in the text, as he was his grandson. Grandchildren were often just called the sons of men. Saul's son, but Jonathan's son, Saul's grandson, Mephibosheth, who was lame on both of his feet, whom David had taken in chapter 9 because of a covenant made with Jonathan. He said, "Is there any left of the house of Saul that I may yet show mercy unto them for Jonathan's sake?" And being told of Mephibosheth, he sent and fetched him and took him into his own home and assigned Ziba and all of the servants to serve Mephibosheth. And he ate at the king's table, as we saw in our text tonight. And clearly here, Mephibosheth had been very troubled about David being in exile. He was not happy that David had been betrayed by his son Absalom. We see in this verse 24, Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes. From the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace, he had neglected himself. Similar to fasting when there's great sorrow, even food, the very necessary food for our bodies, is put off for a time because of great mourning. These are all signs of mourning. And so we have here the first indication that Mephibosheth's true feelings for David are not what Ziba had reported. And we'll look at that to refresh our memory. And this is important because the last we heard of Mephibosheth was in chapter 16. Go ahead and look at it with me, 2 Samuel 16, verse 1. We'll get a little context here and then we'll get into the meat of our text. The last we had heard of Mephibosheth was in 2 Samuel here, 16, verse 1. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, and this is when he's leaving Jerusalem, leaving his home, leaving his throne, going into exile to save his own life and that of his supporters, his faithful, loyal servants. He was leaving town. And when he was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, the one that David had said, "You're going to take care of Mephibosheth from now on," back in chapter 9. Ziba met with David with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said unto Ziba, "What meanest thou by these?" And Ziba said, "The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink." And the king said, "And where is thy master's son? Where's Mephibosheth?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, 'Today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father.'" Then said the king to Ziba, "Behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth." So Ziba told David, Mephibosheth is staying in Jerusalem because he sees an opportunity here. The one really seeing an opportunity here is Ziba. He comes and gives these gifts to the king, trying to get into the good graces of the king, and tells him a lie. But he's saying, Mephibosheth sees an opportunity here. He stayed in Jerusalem because now that you're off the throne, he is a rightful heir to the throne, being a son of Saul, the one that God had anointed king before. And so he's going to rival and maybe make a play here rather than Absalom in your absence. And so David, on news of that, he says, all right, everything I gave to Mephibosheth, it's yours now, Ziba. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my Lord, O King. So this, no doubt, added, as we saw then, it added to the considerable sorrow that David was going through at that time, explains the next verse in our text. Look at verse 25, back in chapter 19. And it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem, Mephibosheth was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? Where were you? Where were you when I was down? And there may be some anger in this question. You could imagine that. A sense of betrayal, no doubt some hurt, some heartache. Where were you? Why didn't you come with me? After all David had done for Mephibosheth, he thinks still that Mephibosheth had betrayed him, just like Absalom had. And all the other sorrow upon sorrow that was heaped upon David at that time, knowing that all of this was because of his own sin. He was in a terrible low place, and Mephibosheth, he thinks, kicked him while he was down. We've all probably been kicked while we were down before. Not fun. David may also be testing Mephibosheth. David may, see, he thinks he knows the real reason why Mephibosheth stayed. And he may be seeing if Mephibosheth's going to come clean about it and be honest, like Shimei was in the previous, in this same chapter. Or is he going to lie about it? But think about the essential spiritual truth here. In all of these stories, the key to understanding all of the scriptures is to see Christ and the things of Christ in the text. And that's so clear, really, here. David has shown great mercy to Mephibosheth. And so he had every right to wonder and to ask this question, didn't he? Where were you? Where were you? Why didn't you come with me? Our Lord asks this wretched world, he asks his enemies in this world, this, many good works have I showed you from my Father, for which of these works do you stone me? John 10:32. And does not the Lord have the right to ask his people, having shown great mercy to us personally, each one of us individually, might he ask us, does he have not the right to ask us, perhaps, for example, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Is there any situation ever in our lives where this question would apply as coming from our Savior to us? Why wentest not thou with me? Would that question have ever had context in your life? I'm thankful that the truth of the matter is what it is in Mephibosheth's case. And I pray that that will be the truth in our case. That all we really ever wanted was to be with him. By God's grace, may that be so. You hear what he said? He said, look at verse 26. And he answered, my Lord, O King, my servant deceived me. For thy servant, that's Mephibosheth, he's referring to himself as your servant. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king. That's all Mephibosheth ever wanted. From the day that David sent and fetched him and set him at his own table, and he said to David, why, O King, who am I that you would look upon such a dead dog as I am? All Mephibosheth ever wanted was to be with him. Now, look at verse 26 again, and this is kind of a choppy sentence, isn't it? If you He said, "My Lord, O my King, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame." Well, he didn't saddle an ass and say, "I'm going to go to the king because he's lame." What he's saying here is, it didn't work out the way I wanted it to because my servant deceived me. I was coming. I said to him, "Get my stuff together. We're going to go to the king." But he deceived me and he got away with it. Why? Because I was lame. But he kind of jumbles the sense, doesn't he? And I believe it's true to what he said, because he was anxious to explain to David what actually happened. Have you ever been so anxious to tell somebody the truth that you just stumbled all over your words trying to tell them? That's kind of almost what it sounds like, doesn't it? He wanted David to know so badly the truth. And when you look at each phrase of his answer, though, it's clear what happened. Mephibosheth intended to go. He's sincere about that. He said, "I'm going to go to the king." And maybe he told Ziba himself, because Ziba was his main servant. It's likely that he told Ziba, "Saddle me an ass. We're going. We're going to go be with David." And Ziba deceived him. And the deception, maybe, it just says he deceived me. He doesn't elaborate on that. Maybe since he went to David and said, "Well, Mephibosheth is not your friend. He thinks he's going to be put on the throne now that you're being exiled. And so he's going to stay behind and, you know, not good." He might have also played Mephibosheth the same way and said, "David doesn't want you to go with him." He said, what good is Mephibosheth? What's he going to do?" That'd be the kind of thing this type of person might say. What are you going to, you're lame on both your feet. You're not going to be any help to David. Now he needs men that can fight, that can defend him, that can be a help in some way. I don't know if he said that or not. He may have just delayed getting the animals ready and the stuff ready long enough for it to be too late for Mephibosheth to catch up and deceived him that way. We don't know for sure. But whatever the deception part was, it was Mephibosheth's lameness ultimately that kept him from David. He don't need to count on Ziba if he's not lame on both of his feet. He'll saddle his own ass and get to David, right? But he said, "Because thy servant is lame." And here again, spiritual teaching. He wouldn't have needed Ziba's cooperation had he not been lame. And this is the spiritual truth here. This is a sad commentary on our condition as believers. The Lord has had mercy on us. We dine at his table. He expects our loyalty. He expects and deserves our allegiance. Does he not? And you know what? We're still lame on both of our feet. Romans 7:14. "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good." David deserves my loyalty. He deserves my allegiance. And I want to go to him. But listen to what Paul said. "Now then, it is no more I that sin, that do it, that fail, but sin that dwelleth in me." It's not the new me. It's not for lack of desire. Verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." Saddle it up. I'm going to the king. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I'm still lame. God help us. We're still lame, aren't we? "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man
that I am? Who's going to deliver me? Who's going to save me? And think about what Mephibosheth said in the next couple of verses. David, I wanted to get to you, but I'm lame. I couldn't come. I couldn't get to you. But here's the thing. You're God's angel. You do with me whatever seems good to you. Who's going to save me? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm going to cast my soul upon Him and trust Him that He's able. The truth is now, the answer to the question, here's the truth. The answer to the question, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? You know what the answer to that is? No. You can't. You can't. And I can't either. We cannot. Now we might. We might watch anyway. We might if the Lord gives us strength. If the Lord works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, Philippians 2:13, we might well watch with Him. But you know what? The minute we say, Lord, I'll watch with you. When everybody else walks away, I'll watch with you. We're going to find out how lame we are. You know what's especially beautiful about this verse, though, these last two verses in our text? Think about this. What possible good could Mephibosheth have been to David if he had gone? What purpose would it have served? Honestly, I don't know if Ziba played that against him or not and told him that to just, you know, seal the deception. He deceived David and he deceived Mephibosheth. Not sure exactly what he said to Mephibosheth. We didn't see that part, but what good would Mephibosheth have done? He'd have just been nothing but trouble. David would have had to assign men that could have been doing other stuff to help Mephibosheth. What would be the point? But David wanted him with him anyway. Why didn't you come? Why didn't you come with me? But David, he's lame on both. Why didn't you come with me? Why didn't you come? He sure didn't need Mephibosheth to fight for him. Mephibosheth had no gift for counsel or strategy. Nobody ever asked Mephibosheth, what should we do now? But David just loved him. He loved him for Jonathan's sake. And he wanted him with him. Verse 27. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. Not only did Ziba deceive me, Mephibosheth says, but he lied to you about me. What great damage a lie can do. What great damage. To be dishonest to the king, that alone worthy of death. And to lie to one of the king's subjects in such a way as to keep them from the king. As to drive a wedge between them and the king. How abominable is that? And this is all false religion. They give the Lord the Judas kiss. You heard, boy, Ziba was laying it on thick, wasn't he? Oh, my Lord, the King, if I could just find grace in your sight. They get out their hymn books and they sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus. And they're stabbing everybody in the back but themselves. It's all about me, 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 me. They think they're deceiving the Lord with their phony allegiance. I mean, it's really just them trying to benefit themselves. And they tell lies to those who would be with the king to keep them from being with the king. What a horrible, horrible
thing. The Lord said to the religious Jews in Luke 11:52, "Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in you hindered." Not only do you hate David, Ziba, and you want to be on the throne yourself, but you don't want anybody else to be loyal to him either. You want to mess it all up. But look at what Mephibosheth said to David. The word angel is messenger or representative. You're God's representative. You're God's king. You're God's authority. Christ is the angel and the messenger of the covenant. And whatever is good in his eyes, he's going to do it. And you know what? That's what we want. If you just want to be with him, if you just want him to be honored, you want him, you want to see him on his throne, that's Mephibosheth. Then what do you want? You want whatever's good in his eyes. Do it. Salvation is casting your soul upon him that doeth all things well. Christ is the messenger of the covenant, the angel of the covenant, in that he himself is the gospel. He brings the message of God in his own person. God has spoken unto us in these last days by his Son. The good news is a person. He is the righteousness of God that I need, and I need to hear about it. You remember what he said? He had set forth him to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. How did he do that? By setting forth his Son as a sin offering. The person of Christ is the declaration of God's righteousness for sinners. And propitiation means sin offering. I need a sin offering. I need the sin offering. I need God's Lamb. Christ is all that I need. And I know that he's all that I need because he told me. He's the messenger. He's the angel. You're the angel of God. And he has made unto us, by grace through faith in him, all that we need. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Verse 28 in our text. For all of my father's house were but dead men. You see the gospel here? We were dead. We were dead before my Lord the King. To one another, everybody, you know, this world, boy, we're really living. But before God, you're dead. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. You see what he said? Why would he say we were dead? All of the servants, all of my father's house, Saul, the house of Saul, were dead men before you. What does that mean? Well, David was expected to kill all of them as rivals to the throne. Look how Saul had treated David. And now, technically, like Ziba told on Mephibosheth, though it wasn't true, they all had expectation as being in the line of the throne of the king, the lineage of royalty. And so it was expected. Mephibosheth, though, that's why he's hiding out in Lodabar. He expected the king. But instead of killing them, instead of killing Mephibosheth, what did he do? You sat me down at your own table. What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king? Here we are on the first day of a new year. And this must be our testimony today. May it be so. Look what the king has done for us. What more could we want? What more could we ask? Look what he's done for us. What do you want? You know, people are talking about, well, this year, you know. And there's nothing wrong with having goals and wanting to succeed and wanting to do things. But look, we're talking about spiritually now.
You don't get better than where we are right now, spiritually. It don't get better. And everything else is just added. I mean, let's be honest, right? Look at what the Lord has done for us. We were as dead men and women before Him. When Saul, Mephibosheth's grandfather, was killed in battle and David became the rightful king, God's anointed king, the expectation was that all of Saul's house would be put to the sword. And that's what Mephibosheth is talking there about. But David's sin and fetched him. And I'm sure he thought, this is it. He found out where I was at. I don't know who told him. He found out where I was and he sent for me and I'm a goner. That's probably what Barabbas thought when they said to him, come out, get out here. Well, this is it. My last moment. Seeing that the Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign. Now think about, this is us. We're Mephibosheth here. Christ is on the throne. You know what that means? It means you're going to hell. That's what it means. It means you're a dead man unless He has mercy on you. That's what it means. He's the sovereign and you're not. And all of us by nature are rivals to His throne, or we think we are. We presume to be. We boast it. We say, I will, I will, I will, like our daddy Satan by nature. We richly deserve death in every sense of the word. We were as dead men. If you've never confessed before God that He would have done the right thing if He would have put you straight in hell, then you don't know God. And that's the picture here in our text. We're dead men. Listen to 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. For we thus judge that if one died for all, then we were all dead. That's why He had to die for us, because we were dead. We were goners. Under the law, no hope. And that He died for all, that they which live, that they which sit at His table should not henceforth live unto themselves. Mephibosheth didn't even change his clothes. He didn't shave his beard or anything while David was gone. We should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto Him which died for us and rose again. Instead of killing us and putting us in hell, He sat us down at His table. What do you want this year? That's the title of the message tonight. What do you want? What did Mephibosheth want? What did he want? He said, look what you did for me. How can I even ask for anything more? Word had come back around, you see, to Mephibosheth about what Ziba had told David. How did Mephibosheth know that Ziba had slandered him? He said, my servant slandered your servant unto the king. How did he know that? Well, word had gotten back to him. That's kind of a big deal. Everybody's saying, well, did you hear about Mephibosheth? After all David did for him, he betrayed him and wants to be king now. Yeah, like he's going to ever be king, that lame fool. He's not ever going to be king. You know what was going on, and it got back to him. Ziba didn't fess up. Word got back to Mephibosheth what had happened, what he'd done. And it was all lies, but Mephibosheth is saying here, if you believe it, if you kill me for it, yet I'll die blessed beyond my wildest dreams. Who would have ever thought I ever would have sat one day at the king's table? I'm ready. What you've done for me is all I need. Oh, and one more thing. Think about this. This is most important because it wasn't even really what David had done for Mephibosheth that Mephibosheth delighted in. It wasn't just sitting at the king's table to Mephibosheth was not just a matter of him eating better than he did in Lodabar, although I'm sure he was happy to do it. It wasn't just about that. You know how I know that? Well, look at verse 29. And the king said unto him, "Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba, divide the land." So David, and I've told you before, when we looked ahead at this, when we were in chapters 9 and 16, where we flashed back tonight, we flashed ahead then and looked at this, and you probably remember that I said, I'm not sure exactly why David handled this the way that he did. I know that Ziba also had come down to meet David. We saw it in this chapter, I believe, like Shimei had cursed David to his face, and David said, "You're not going to die. You're not going." He forgave him for the horrible thing that he had done. You remember that Abishai wanted to take Shimei out right then. He cursed the king. Should he not die? And so Ziba came down, and we don't have a lot of details about what Ziba said, but he may have come like Shimei did and said, "Forgive me." I don't know. I don't know what happened. But David did not kill Ziba any more than he killed Shimei. And he said, "Y'all just split it now." He gave it to Mephibosheth, and then he said, "Everything I gave to Mephibosheth is yours, Ziba." Now he said, "Just split it." Just split it. I'm not sure exactly why he did that, but there was a lot of mercy going around that day, wasn't there? I'm thankful for that. There's a lot of mercy. He's plenteous in mercy, isn't he? He's plenteous in mercy. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, "Yea, let him take all. For as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house." That's how I know it wasn't just about eating good and dressing good and having everything done for him. He just loved David. He loved David. Because David first loved David. The king is on his throne where he belongs tonight. He's getting the glory that he deserves. Everybody's bowing to him that knows him. And that's what we've been waiting for. What I want, and again, this is the question, what do you want in 2020? What do you want? What do you want tonight? Mephibosheth said, in effect, "What I want is not for the king to do anything for me. I don't want the stuff that the king can give me. Give it all to Ziba. I just want him. I just want to be with him. That he's home and he's where he belongs. That he's on the throne. That he rules and reigns in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. That's my desire. That's my glory. His glory." Now, in 2020, I'd be dishonest if I said that I don't want any of the comforts and luxuries that I've enjoyed in 2019. I don't want any of that. I just want to be miserable. I want to be homeless and broke and you know, sick. And that wouldn't be honest, would it? But I'll tell you this. I'd also be dishonest if I said that any of that means anything without him. It just doesn't, does it? It doesn't mean anything. Christ is on the throne where he belongs. And we're still sitting at his table. Thank God his rightful sovereign king reigneth. What do you need? You remember when the Lord sent his disciples out to preach for him? He said in Luke 22:35, he said unto them, "When I sent you without purse, you didn't have any savings, you didn't even have a lunchbox with you. You didn't even have an extra pair of shoes. I sent you out without any of that. Did you lack anything?" I love this, don't you? Because it reminds me And they said, nothing. Nothing. And the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. And look now. We are His servants. And He has sent us into this world to honor Him, to tell of Him, to worship Him, to rejoice in Him, to He's commanded us to rest in Him. To rejoice. What a beautiful commandment. Rejoice. Quit being the way you are and be joyful for a change. How about that's one for me. All of it. He commands us. And the key word in that statement is His. We are His servants in this world. Do you lack anything? What do you want? Bless God. I believe I can say this with all my heart, honestly. I have what I want. I have what I want. Let's pray.